to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. You just heard a scintillating first hour that was hosted by myself and Keith Alexander. Now joining me in the studio is Winston Smith as we bring you tonight's show from the studios of AM 1380 WLRM Radio. It is Saturday, April the 3rd, and we're also going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com, and of course we're streaming live around the world on our internet website via live simulcasting at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, if you go to our official internet headquarters this evening, you will notice that in the top right-hand margin, you will find two flags, the first being the battle flag of the Army of Northern Virginia, also more commonly known as the Confederate battle flag, and the second flag being the first national flag of the Confederate States of America. The reason those two flags are featured on our website this month is because April is Confederate Heritage Month, Confederate History Month. We didn't make that up. It is officially recognized as such by many of the states here in the South, and we are doing our part, as we always do each April for 6 years running now, do our bit to promote Southern issues and different Southern guests, and we're going to be doing that all month during the third hour of our broadcasts each week. You're going to want to stay tuned tonight as we kick it off with a great guest. And on the blog, let me remind you that on the blog we will be featuring guest columnists this month as we do a continuing series entitled Why I Love the South. Now, to get your reading kickstarted the right way, go to our blog this evening at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We have featured a classic paper written by our good friend Sam Dixon entitled Shattering the Icon of Abraham Lincoln. We're going to be talking a little bit more about this during the third hour, but take a look at it in the meantime. But before you do that, be sure to listen intently as I welcome our featured guest for the evening. He will be sitting in with us for the entire second hour. He is none other than Richard Spencer, the executive editor of the all-new website Alternative Right. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you again, and even greater to have you under such extraordinary circumstances. You have, as I mentioned at the top of the program, been doing great work in the last few weeks with your brand new enterprise, Alternative Right. You've surrounded yourself with an all-star team. And we're going to talk more about that in a moment. Before we talk about them, let's talk about you. You are the executive editor of Alternative Right, and I don't want to embarrass you or make you blush in any way, but I do want you to share with the listening audience a little bit more about your credentials, because they are plentiful.
Oh, well, I mean, as an editor, my main goal is to surround myself with people who are smarter than I am. So that's always been my strategy. So I've basically, on my new website, alternativeright.com, I've brought Peter Brimelow on board. He's, of course, the editor of VDare.com, and he's a longtime writer for more mainstream places like Forbes and National Review and Washington, things like that. Also, my good old Gottfried, who's a great historian of politics and things like that. And so I just try to, and then we also have a whole kind of, you know, stable of great bloggers and writers who I think are going to surprise everyone once they give them a read, like Jack Donovan, who's been talking about masculinity, Richard Host, who's writing about human biodiversity and genetics and things like that, James Kalb, he's a great philosopher. The list goes on. Derek Turner, we just have a lot of great people. So I think I have a few things to add, but I just try to surround myself with
always modest, Richard. And I can appreciate that, because I'm sometimes condemned as a modest man, but it's good to be. I don't think that's a character fault whatsoever. It's a virtue. But you have certainly surrounded yourself with some of the preeminent scholars and academics of this movement, whatever this movement is. But what is the alternative right? Why did you select such a name as the standard bearer for your website?
Well, the subtitle of Alternative Right is a online magazine of radical traditionalism. And basically what we are trying to do is to form a movement that is on the right, conservative in many ways, but that is outside the mainstream conservative establishment, that is completely independent of those people. And we are going to be working on the kind of the intellectual side of that with this webzine. And, you know, alternative right is a kind of a term. I think I might have been the first one to use it a couple of years ago, and I was basically referring to a lot of people who didn't necessarily agree with one another on everything, and there certainly was no party line, and unfortunately there was no think tank or great foundation or anything like that behind them. But there were a lot of independent voices who were talking about some things that the rest of the conservative movement just didn't want to hear. That is political correctness within the conservative movement, not just the obvious things like some crazy professor at Harvard or whatever, but the political correctness within the American government, within the conservative movement. They were talking about human biodiversity, human differences between individual differences and group differences. People who are really just taking a sledgehammer to the myths and prejudices of American foreign policy, who were just really rethinking the empire, just everything. I think there was really a whole constellation of people who were doing some of the most innovative, the best work, and they were doing it outside of the conservative establishment. And by that, you know what I mean? Anything establishment connected with the GOP, with Newt Gingrich and Fox and all these people. This was the alternative, and so it's kind of a. Although I do actually like the word alternative because I think it brings up it has some good connotations.
Right, you certainly can't use
a little bit dangerous and different.
You certainly can't use the word conservative to describe our position when people like Rupert Murdoch and Norman Podhoretz and William Kristol are claiming to be conservative. So I think you've done a great job in separating ourselves as people who adhere to an alternative right of center view rather than mainstream conservatism. And that's what you've gotten. So you've got all these people here under one roof, over there at Alternative Right, and of course the website, which we want to plug hard and heavy this hour, alternativeright.com. Folks, bookmark that one, alternativeright.com. You've got all these people who are talking about all of these different subjects, so you got a great variety. Mm-hmm. And that's important, too, because obviously one person's pet issue isn't going to be the pet issue of everybody we need to reach.
Exactly. And also, this is a holistic thing. I mean, the holistic project. I mean, American conservatism is, they don't just have it wrong on a few issues. Like, oh, I want to tweak foreign policy, but overall, you know, they're great. You know, these people this whole thing is a big disaster. I don't do this, in terms of like starting up my own movement or all this kind of stuff, I'm not some idealistic person who wants to create some, you know, castle in the sky or something like that. I'm a very pragmatic person. And I think my starting point for starting up a site like this is that the movement as it is a total disaster. We have a lot of great independent voices who are going to be excluded, who are not going to be allowed to sound a voice. I mean, Richard Host is a very young guy, and he does some fantastic writing on human differences and certainly racial differences, individual differences, genetics, and how that affects society, how we can think about gender, politics through the lens of genetics. It's fascinating stuff. It's very similar to what Steve Saylor does. I mean, if you mention this stuff at a conservative, you know, so-called get-together, you'll be denounced.
And you got people with so much promise that would be denied a forum, denied a chance to express their thoughts if it weren't for truly people, and people like you, Richard, who give themselves a venue, who give these people a place to come and share their ideas in a manner that will be well received and, more importantly, well read. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're just getting started tonight. As I said, I am so encouraged by this website that I've asked Richard Spencer, who is the executive editor of Alternative Right, alternativeright.com, to be our guest for the entire hour. And we're not going to just talk about the website. We're going to be talking about some broader issues as well. But he's going to be our guest for all of it, and we're going to bring Winston Smith in to join the debate as he co-hosts this hour with me right after this. You're listening to The Political Cesspool on Liberty News Radio. We will be back right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, during tonight's third hour, we will be kicking off our annual April showcase promoting Confederate History Month. That's coming up in just a little bit on tonight's program. But first, for the entire second hour, we have with us as our featured guest, Richard Spencer of AlternativeRight.com. And if we haven't convinced you to go check out AlternativeRight.com by the end of this program, I just don't know what we're going to do. But joining us now, a man who has been poring over the aforementioned website for the past couple of hours in preparation for tonight's show, Winston Smith, my co-host. Winston, you've been on Alternative Right for a little bit. What'd you come away with?
I came away absolutely dazzled by the variety of articles that are written by the illuminaries who have contributed articles and by the subjects covered. There is nothing here that people who think correctly, I would say right-thinking people, but you can take that a lot of ways, but a thinking person, who is a free thinker and open-minded, can go to the Alternative Right website and find so much from which to glean, and it's very thought-provoking. These are very fine writers here, the best in the movement, and I congratulate you, sir. This is a superb website.
Well, thank you for those kind words.
I would like to ask you about something that that caught my attention right away, this being the Easter weekend and all that, and I being a devout Presbyterian. I saw this article by Stephen McNallen, and I've read articles by Mr. McNallen before. The title of this article is Why I'm a Pagan, and if you click on it, you see Mr. McNallen in his paganly vestments, if you will. He's I don't know if you call him a priest or what, I don't know what he calls himself, but he's a proponent of a religion called
Azatru.
I never can pronounce that. I don't know why. But, he calls it the native European, religion. And, I read it. It was interesting. I don't agree with a lot of it, but still, that gave me, impetus for the question I'd like to ask you. Most people on the right are going to be what they consider traditionalists, and they're going to come to Alternative Right and see this article. And what do you think they should walk away with from this article? And how should people who consider themselves to be Christians, traditional Christians, view this? I know a lot of people will say, "Well, here we have this website that's claiming to be." A rightist, if not a conservative, and here we have this article on paganism.
Well, I don't think any serious Christian would be offended by what we publish, unless they're small-minded, because they're, you know, I think it's obvious. I am not in the least attempting to bash Christianity or any of this kind of stuff. But I think, you know, if you are going to think of yourself as connected with the West
as connected with Europe, as connected even with the ancient world, then you have to get in touch with the gods, so to speak. And I think really that is my motivation. It's not something about you have to worship Odin to be cool or whatever. I'm not saying that in the least. And neither is McNallan, although he is a devout pagan. I mean, that should not that needs to be stressed.
Well, and let me say this.
Let me just finish the thought real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think, you know, the subtitle of radical traditionalism, I think, can be taken in a couple of different ways. And I think there's another interpretation that I think James is going to bring up, which we can speak about later. But another one is basically the word radical itself, which comes from the root of the word radical is root, radix. And it means really getting down to the root of who we are. As McNallan points out, you know, the European people, the West, have worshipped the gods for tens of thousands of years, and they've been Christian for less than two. If you really think, and I don't think paganism is something that's ever died within Western civilization. There is tons of pagan elements to all aspects of our lives, including this Easter holiday, which we're about to celebrate, which is named after a pagan goddess. I think it's more about getting in touch with these things, and it's not about doing any kind of Christopher Hitchens or any of that kind of, you know, Christianity poisons everything, or we're not hysterical like that. And people like James Cowell, who wrote some responses to it, has certainly given a Christian response.
That was one thing that I found really it was refreshing about your website. Mm-hmm. Pardon me for interrupting you, sir. I'm sorry, but I wanted to get this in that you do allow people to respond in a considered manner. They don't have to post, 200 words or less. They can actually, they can take on the issues you raise. I appreciate that. That's true intellectualism.
Oh yeah, I mean that. You know, that's what I want to do. I don't want to create a party line with this thing, with this website. I mean, this is more about we're going to form a movement, and that movement has to have a head. It has to have an intellectual component, and for this to be formed, we're going to need a lot of serious debate, and a lot of different voices are going to need to be heard. And I don't say that as sounding like Mr. Tolerant or, you know, Mr. Diversity or whatever. I obviously have opinions, and I think some people are wrong. Some people are right. But I do think that there is simply, you know, I think, A, you know, getting and talking about something like paganism, getting in touch with Europe's roots, I think is something that is enjoyed and is an important for Christians as well.
Well, and this is the thing,
and I do think that we don't, you know, we don't have to, you know, we can have some disagreements and have some productive debates.
Well, and this is the thing that I'm glad Winston brought this question up, and of course now we're focusing on one article on the website out of hundreds. But the thing is, I think it's important that anyone who is right of center, whether they be Christian or whatever the religious affiliation, need to come together in defense of the West. And I could much more easily work with someone like the author in question here than some of these Judeo-Christian perverts like Pat Robertson. And
oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly, James. I'm glad you brought it up. I didn't want this to be combative or anything.
No, but... well, no, it's not. It's a good conversation, and certainly a lot of Christians, and of course the members of this hosting staff, I don't mind volunteering this, happen to be adherents to the Christian faith. But, you know, there's a lot. There's probably much more poison in the church these days than you're going to find on a lot of establishment television shows. But the thing we need to do is come together in defense of our people. We have got to quit fractionalizing based upon issues such as this, when we have so many charlatans claiming to be the people who speak for us. So, you know, if we can lay down our swords and embrace one another as European European stock, then that's the first step. And in order to do that, I know a lot of people out there who are who do claim to be conservatives are probably going to be Christians, or at least believe themselves to be Christians. So when you see something like this, and the reason this is being brought up is because there are a lot of people out there that are doing some of the best work in defense of the West who aren't Christians, and we've got to come together. We've got to come together. Well, we've probably spent too much time talking about that one single issue when we have so much more to discuss tonight. When we come back after this next break, we're going to talk about radical traditionalism. What's radical now was very traditional just a couple short decades ago, and why alternative right is being presented as a trendy, if not edgy, venue for thought and debate, and why it is needed to be that in order to recruit members of the younger generation. So all that and more when we continue tonight with Richard Spencer right after this.
We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Continuing on the second hour, we welcome back Richard Spencer, the executive editor of AlternativeRight.com, a website that we highly encourage you to bookmark. It's a website that really showcases the brightest minds of the intellectual right, and it's going to give you some great reading and really reinforce not only a lot of your beliefs, but provide you with an ability to further your education on some very important issues. And I had the opportunity to speak with Richard on the telephone as I was driving out to the studio this evening, and one of the things we talked about was the kind of catchphrase for alternative right, and that is, it represents a philosophy of radical traditionalism, and we took note of the fact that, for my sake at least, the success of this radio program has made me somewhat of a name, and because of that and our ability to have guests like Richard on who can really give you good meat, if you will, in terms of being able to talk about issues, we've been denounced as all sorts of things, radicals, extremists, this, that, and the other. And what I found so puzzling about that is that what is considered radical in this day and age would have been very traditional just a short 30, 40 years ago. Well, if the ideas of my fathers and grandfathers were good enough for them, then it's certainly good enough for me. But Richard, could you elaborate on that thought process about radical traditionalism and, you know, what's radical now was once traditional, and how can we kind of turn the tables back to where it once again becomes in vogue?
Absolutely. You know, one meaning of radical traditionalism is about getting to the root of things, as I mentioned before. But I think another one is to be a traditionalist in this day and age is truly radical. Let me talk about that in two ways. I mean, one of them is if you look at a lot of these heroes that are embraced by both left and right, let's say someone like Winston Churchill, for example. If you actually read what Churchill thought about the colonies, about the British Empire, about keeping Britain white, about his own nationalism, even some of his writings on Zionism, these are highly provocative. These would put him well to the right of the British National Party. These would make him this person that no one would even tolerate. Indeed, in Europe, they might lock him up in some thought prison or send him to The Hague or something for his evilness. And yet, this is someone who is certainly a heroic individual, a brilliant mind, someone who was writing mainstream books and magazine op-eds in his lifetime, and who was revered by the liberals, who's quoted and by the conservatives, and so on and so forth. And I think if you really think of, how far out there some of these mainstream figures would be if they were to, come and live in our day, you get a sense of how kind of radically wrong and radically, I'm using the word radical, how horribly decadent our culture is. I think that's something to think about. The other thing that I want to do with alternative right, and I think the word alternative is good for this, is to really give people a sense that if you're reading this and and this stuff is really resonating with you, you're a radical. You're dangerous. You're questioning the system. Now, that doesn't mean that you should go and throw bombs and, you know, use drugs and, you know, get lots of tattoos. It doesn't mean that at all. It probably means that you're a normal, healthy person. But if you are basically reading the Huffington Post, if you think multiculturalism is just wonderful, if you think Obama's great and he's going to help everyone with all his new health care, if you think all that nonsense, you are not speaking truth to power. You are not questioning or subverting anything. You are the most conventional, boring, conservative person on earth. And I think this is an argument that we really need to bring people. And I'm not pitching alternative right to young people, solely to young people, certainly not. I mean, I'm about to turn 32 myself, so I'm kind of right in between. But I do think that there is a there's a lot of younger people who are totally turned off by mainstream conservatism for good reason. And if we can present these ideas to them and present them as this is dangerous, this is provocative, this is questioning the system, this is something you're not supposed to read, that we're going to reach a whole new audience that doesn't think of themselves as conservative. And that is one of my goals. I met a lot of these people. You know, we had the Mencken Club, which is an organization I'm involved with, which is a small organization. We put on conferences and on, it's fairly scholarly. But there was a whole group of people who, you know, when we had the last meeting, there was a lot of the people who are kind of the traditional cronies. You know, I see them everywhere. I see them every conference. I know them. There was this whole group of people, and they were under 40, a lot of them under 30. A lot of them were smart, some of them professional, some of them whatever. And they had never been to a conservative conference in their life, and indeed they probably avoid it like the plague. And yet they were coming out to this. So these ideas, if we can really, really convince people that what we're doing, this is the avant-garde, we're the ones who are dangerous, I think there's a whole new market of people who are going to come over.
And I want to say one more thing, and I want to toss it back over to Winston, but this was something that I noticed right away about alternative right that I was hugely impressed with. It goes without saying that people, for whatever reason, and I don't think we're afflicted with this disorder, but most people want to be part of something that's fashionable. Whatever is fashionable will do.
Yeah.
And because that's the case, we need to present our ideas in a manner that is both trendy and edgy. Rather than just having a website that's wrapped in an American flag, Richard, as you and I talked about earlier, you have a very unique look to alternative right, which in some ways is probably just as important as the content itself.
Absolutely. We have a fantastic web designer, and I'm not sure if he'd like his name to be broadcast, so I won't, but if you want to email me, it's real easy. It's just richard@alternativeright.com, and if you're interested in knowing about him, I can send you his name. But I think this person is just as important for our movement as is Paul Gottfried. And I don't mean to, you know, denigrate Paul Gottfried. He's a great friend of mine, or any of these people. You know, as a scholar, but we need people who can communicate our message, who can, you know, brand our message, to use a word I don't always like. But these people are very important. I mean, we are not going to win, if we are, characterized as these, I don't know what the conservative is, or the person who's racist, who talks about race. He's some fat old man who, you know, lives in his mother's basement and hasn't gotten laid in 40 years and who's bitter and angry and screams at people and shakes his fist and, you know, uses the N-word all the time and has a tattoo, you know. Look, we're not going to win if that is the way we're characterized. But that's not how we are. You know, there are, when you meet people in this movement, you meet dynamic minds, you meet great people. We sadly have a tendency to attack each other too much.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I'm trying to stop that. But yeah, you meet great, fantastic, and highly intelligent people.
people who are actively writing and who are also attending and reading this kind of stuff.
Well, you mentioned something there, Richard. We do attack each other too much, which is why I wanted Winston to bring in the question about Christianity and pagan adherence to this cause. Mm-hmm. We need to come together, and that's one of the things. Religious differences is one of the things that really separates our movement as much as anything that I've noticed, and we've got to bridge the gaps on issues like that. We've got to come together and coalesce as a force to make sure we have the ability to survive. Once we've answered the question whether or not we're ever even going to survive as a race, then we can get back to fighting with one another. But let's solve that one first. Winston, over to you.
Richard, another thing that I really liked about Alternative Right, the website, is the Alternative Right Radio. You have, I guess they're, I don't know what format they're in, but you have several interviews, I guess, or readings by the authors. You have one by Jared Taylor there that I'm really looking forward to listening to. That looks like a very fine feature. I'm looking forward to accessing that a lot. It's good to hear these people in their own voices.
And
oh,
Richard,
yeah. Well,
before you, before
they're MP3s, so they're, you can also subscribe on iTunes. I think this whole podcast phenomenon is going to be huge. I listen to tons of podcasts. I love them, and I don't listen to the radio, and I try to avoid watching the boob tube as much as possible. But you can, they're fantastic. I listen to a lot of podcasts on finance and all.
Richard, hold that thought. Richard,
like
that. Sorry to interrupt. Got to take ahead. A break. We're going to talk more about Alternative Right and their podcast right after this with Richard Spencer.
Every night, every day,
don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We got
welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
We have just a few more fleeting minutes with Richard Spencer, the executive editor of AlternativeRight.com. Originally scheduled to appear in tandem with Richard this evening was Dr. Paul Gottfried. He's a gentleman who's been mentioned a couple of times throughout this interview. And one of the things Paul wanted to talk on was the need for a non-neoconservative, non-movement conservative right, which can't be controlled by Rupert Murdoch and Norman Podhoretz, Billy Crystal. Obviously, we have a website, an entity here, an alternative right that is not going to be allowed to be infiltrated. And when you know you have something that is in good hands, something that will be safeguarded against infiltration and subversion, that is something we need to treasure and support. So again, ladies and gentlemen, check out AlternativeRight.com. Richard, we're going to have you back on, I think, next month. Perhaps Paul Gottfried, he had a scheduling conflict here at the last minute and kind of washed him out for tonight. But I'd like to have both you and him on next month for a little follow-up on Alternative Right. But I've got one more question for you, and then I'll allow Winston another question with you before
run
out of time this evening. What was that?
Thank you, James. I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome, buddy. I mean, you know, I do what I can. But, Richard, what is the greater purpose of your website? It goes without saying that it is of great importance to educate and inform people who could one day evolve into being part of a solution to the problems that are ailing our people. Mm-hmm. But after they come and gain this knowledge, how would you like them to apply it? How would you like them to be part of the solution and go out and accomplish something greater than just reading good works? What do you want people to walk away with from Alternative Right?
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to dodge that question a little bit because I want Alternative Right to be an independent intellectual webzine where we're going to go after truth. And you can't be a writer and a thinker and an organizer at the same time. So I really want to, and I'm not just saying this to sound like, you know,
Mr. Integrity, you know, over here or something. There's no practical implication. But without question, I think, you know, I want to change paradigms. I want to introduce people to thinkers that the conservative movement dislikes intensely. Not only in terms of the someone who's going to talk about HBD or something like that, but even great American thinkers like Stoddard. We had a whole series of articles on him. People like Nietzsche, people like Julius Evola, a lot of European thinkers who either draw looks of confusion and bewilderment or looks of scorn by American conservatives when you mention those names. And so I really want to change paradigms. I would say in terms of pragmatism, I think alternative right is also going to be the place where we'll seriously discuss subjects that are a bit taboo. This is a place where you can talk about the role of secession, let's say, for one, where you can talk about a lot of dangerous issues. There's a division of labor here, and I think it would be great if the Tea Party started reading alternative right and became more radical.
Richard, I got to say this. You're on to something there. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point, obviously, we can't just be well-informed people sitting home. We've got to, at one point, hit the pavement. And as you said, a division of labor is good. We can't be all things. Not all of us can't be all things. There are different roles for different people, and different people have mm-hmm. different strengths. Not everyone can write as well as some, but some can come and learn from those writings and go out and apply it in different ways. But this Tea Party thing, mm-hmm. you know, I was reading today in the paper that Congressman Steve Cohen, who is a Jewish Democrat representing a congressional district here in West Tennessee, said that the people in the Tea Party movement are Klansmen without the hoods and robes. Now, the Tea Party movement is pretty milquetoast in the grand scheme of things. They've got a lot of people who are claiming to be their leaders who are trying to prove that they are a non-racialist movement by trying to find minorities in the woodwork somewhere to come and speak to their rallies, when 100% of the people who show up at these rallies are white. So, yeah. You know, hopefully people in the Tea Party movement who fundamentally do agree with us, they are good people. But until they are able to speak with much more candor than what they're speaking with now and apply themselves in a more serious way, I think that it could be rendered obsolete in much the same way the Minutemen Project was rendered obsolete. But for, you know, to be
absolutely.
Called Klansmen.
I think it's already being co-opted and
yeah, well,
into
it
a
is.
Racket.
Well, but see, if these people were reading alternative right, if they were listening to our program and reading the writings of some of the guests we feature on a weekly basis, you know, perhaps it wouldn't be. But my point is, me and you and Winston and everyone else get called all of these names, and these people are going to painful extents to avoid being called these names, and they're trying to prove how milquetoast and diverse they are, even though they're 100% white, and they're still being called Klansmen. So, I mean, you know, look.
I would
they
say two things to this, James, because I see where you're going here. I mean, I would say two things. First off, and this is where intellectual matters have a great affect greatly practical or movement matters, and that is that they don't have any kind of intellectual resources to
yes.
draw upon in order to create a movement that's going to really talk about the problems. I mean, they're talking about a lot. I agree with
them. No, I do too, fundamentally.
Of what they say. Spending is out of control. We're moving towards socialism. Too much debt. But there's more. There's more to this problem. And the other thing I would say is they lack the resources because the conservative movement is brain dead and totally intellectually impoverished.
Richard,
but
they
also,
are. They're getting their daily bread from Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. They don't have the intellectual ammunition it takes to compete against these people. People like Steve Cohen, a Jewish Democrat, it's all about race to him, no matter how he positions himself. People like those in the Tea Party need to be reading, more serious stuff like alternative right. Winston, final question to you. What do you got?
Well, I wanted to go back to some of the media that's on alternative right. And Rich had talked about the possibility of video in the future, and you mentioned that alternative right has a YouTube channel. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, our YouTube channel now is just kind of a fun place to go find videos that I and some of the other editors and friends find interesting. So, if there's a cool vlog by someone smart, we'll put it up there. If there's a hilarious video that's kind of political or whatever, we'll put it up there. So right now it's a pretty minor thing.
I've got one for you.
But I think in the future, as we mentioned just a little bit off the air, and I'll just throw this out there. Hopefully, a wealthy and motivated donor is listening. But I think we need to move towards an internet television station. I think that is a very important, and it's also
very
doable thing. And that is to have a television station which has some entertainment, some original videos. I mean, you can make great short films on relatively small budgets. And I think there's some great filmmakers who could do some good stuff. Some stuff that's like a documentary, almost like The Conversation About Race by Bodecker, but other stuff that has nothing to do with politics, stuff that's beautiful. I think that's great. We need interviews. We need all this kind of stuff. We need to replace cable news at some level.
Absolutely, because if you've got all these people who are relying on Hannity and Riley to be their fearless leaders, then they're always going to be led astray and purposefully so. But I got to tell you this, Richard, in summation tonight, you want to find a political video that's funny for you to put up on the Alternative Right TV. Go to our website. Well, it's on other websites, too. If you haven't already done it, it might already be up there. Hank Johnson, Congressman Hank Johnson, who's worried that Guam might capsize if too many Marines land on one end.
I found that video as well. I put it up. I mean, look, if this doesn't convince you that our elites, they're not even evil. They're too dumb to be evil. They are despicable people. And the people ruling this country are just beyond worthless. You wonder why the government cannot function, why we have this much debt, why we have a totally, in many ways, despicable culture altogether. I mean, look at the people leading it. Look at these jackasses. I mean, these people need to be replaced. Like,
well, that's...
nothing is going to happen until we get a clean house. I mean, we cannot be led by these morons anymore.
Well, folks, if you want to help join the army that will clean house, continue to support radio programs such as ours and websites such as Richard's at alternativeright.com. Richard, this hour flew by, my friend. We're out of time, but thank you for coming on tonight, and we look forward to having you back and continuing to inform our audience of your good work.
Oh, I'd love to be back on. Thanks, guys.
Richard Spencer, everybody, alternativeright.com. Check him out. Check them out. And in the meantime, Winston Smith and I will be back for the third and final hour tonight as we kick off Confederate History Month 2010 on the Political Cesspool right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned. Very exciting and celebratory hour forthcoming tonight on the program. Our first week of Confederate History Month right after this.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.